Hi, I'm Tony.
Hi, Tony.
And you are?
Arantia.
Arantia. I've never heard that name. Is that a family name? Does it have any particular meaning behind it?
Or? Famous tennis player.
My a famous kind of spider?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
My dad is Mexican. It's a tennis player.
Oh, so you were named after one of his favorite tennis players?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. So how could I be an encouragement to you today?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Can I sit down? Would that be all right?
Sure.
Do you have any particular spiritual beliefs?
I believe in God, definitely.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So I'm going to ask a few questions, just to kind of, since all I know is you're a rancher, and I've known you for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay. So just to kind of help with the conversation, what do you think is going to happen to a rancher when a rancher dies?
I will probably go to heaven.
Okay. And I hope that's the case. That's why I'm out here. But why do you believe that?
Because, for one, I am a Christian.
Okay. And what does that mean to you? Because a lot of people will use that word in different ways.
I believe in God and that I know God is there.
Uh-huh.
And that He supports everybody.
Okay. So, do you think you have to be a good person to go to heaven?
No. Well, sometimes.
Well, sometimes. Okay. No one's perfect.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that you're as young, if not younger, than my daughter. So I've had a lot more time to mess up on planet Earth than you. What do you think you have to do to get... Is this your mom or...
Aunt.
Hi, I'm Tony.
Hi, Tony. And Grace.
Yes. Hi, Grace. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So, Arantia, what do you think a person has to do to get into heaven? In fact, if you were to die today, and obviously I don't want that, hope you live a long and healthy and happy life. But if you were to die today and you were standing before God and God said, Arantia, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say?
I'm not sure about that.
Honest answer. That's fine. All right, so... Let me take just a couple of minutes. Can I take just a couple of minutes? Would that be all right? Okay. So here's what I believe. Here's what my church believes. Here's what the Bible teaches. The three of us, Grace, Arantia, and Tony, are all created in the image of God. There is one God who created everything. The animals, the fish, the plants, the planets, the stars, the sky, everything. Everything we could see, everything we can't see was created by one God, who is triune, meaning He's one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And unlike everything else in creation, unlike the animals and the fish and the birds, we were created in the image of God. We're image bearers of our Creator. As different as we are, different ages, different sexes, different backgrounds, everything, we have that in common. We are all image bearers of our Creator. And as such, all of us know that God exists. He's written that reality in our heart, and He testifies to that in creation. And the other thing we have in common is that He's given us a conscience. We know the difference between right and wrong. A fish does not know what's wrong to steal. A monkey does not know what's wrong to lie. A dog does not know what's wrong to worship false gods. Right? They're animals, right? But we know the difference between right and wrong, because as image bearers of our Creator, He's written His law on our heart. For instance, you know it's wrong to lie. Not because your Aunt Grace told you. Not because Tony, the preacher on the corner, told you. Is this your little sister?
Yeah.
Not because your little sister told you. But because you were created in the image of God, and the God who created you is not a liar. You know it's wrong to steal for the same reason. Not because you got caught. Not because a teacher in school said, hey, Arantia, don't steal. You know it's wrong to steal because the God who created you is not a thief. You know it's wrong to dishonor your parents, to disobey your mother or your father or your aunt. But primarily your mother and father. God's word says, honor your mother and father. You know it would be wrong to disobey your parents, not because you got in trouble because you did, but because the God who created you is written on your heart that you ought to honor your mother and father, and for His people, He is our Father in heaven, and we ought to honor Him, okay? So, because God's law is written on our heart, the Bible says that when we die and stand before God, we will be without excuse. Meaning we won't be able to claim innocence to breaking God's law, and we won't be able to claim ignorance. I didn't know that was wrong. We won't be able to claim ignorance to breaking God's law because he's written it on our heart. And God, who is holy and righteous and just, God who is good, is going to judge each person, not by the color of their hair, not by the color of their eyes, not by the color of their skin, not by how much or how little money they have in the wallet, not because of who their parents were or weren't. He's going to judge everybody with what's called equity. That means he's going to judge everybody according to the same law, the same standard. And the Bible says, all have sinned, which is another word for law breaking, all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We're all guilty. Who among us can say we've never lied, or we've never stolen, or we've never disobeyed our parents, or we never hated somebody, which God sees as murder, and the list goes on. But we've all done that, if not with our mouth or with our actions, in our mind, in our heart. And the Bible says that God judges the intentions of our heart. So, if God finds us guilty of breaking his law, and he will, because we are guilty, he's going to do what's right, he's going to do what's good, he's going to do what's just as the perfect judge of the universe, and he's going to find us guilty, and he's going to punish our sin, and that punishment is eternity in hell. That's bad news. But here's the good news. The good news is this same God, who the Bible says is angry with the wicked every day, who will judge the world in righteousness, is the same God who is loving, merciful, gracious, and kind. And he showed that great love some 2,000 years ago when God the Father sent his Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, truly God, truly man, and without sin. He lived a perfect life from cradle to grave as God in the flesh for some 33 years, a life that the four of us can't live for 33 seconds. Because he was perfect, because he was God. We're imperfect because we are just human. But he was both truly human and truly God. But even though he never broke the law of God, at a time decided by God the Father, before the world even began, God the Son, Jesus Christ, voluntarily, on his own, went to a Roman cross. He died a horrible, bloody death he did not deserve, to take upon himself the punishment the four of us rightly deserve for every time we've broken God's law. And yet, unlike every false god created in the imaginations of people, the true God, Jesus Christ the Lord, although he died on that cross and was buried, 3 days later he rose from the grave, forever defeating sin and death. 40 days after that, he ascended back into heaven, where he is now at the right hand of God the Father, the right hand of power and authority, and one day he'll come back. We don't know when, only the Father knows. When he comes back, he's not going to come back as a little baby in the Christmas story. He's going to come back, the Bible says, as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to judge both the living and the dead. So what's your name, sweetie?
McKenna.
So what God requires of Grace and Arantxa and McKenna and Tony is that by faith and by faith alone, we turn from our sin and turn toward God and receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And if we do that, more importantly, if God does that to us, and as Jesus said, literally causes us to be born again, he'll take our heart of stone that makes us an enemy with God and makes us want to sin and love our sin, and he'll give us a heart of flesh. And we'll begin to love the things that God loves, namely him and other people, and we'll begin to hate the things that God hates, not other people, but our own sin. And we'll have the assurance of eternal life, not because we're good, we're lawbreakers, but because of the goodness of God that would allow his one and only perfect and precious and priceless Son to die for sinful people like us. So when I die and I stand before God, if God were to ask me, Tony, why should I allow you into heaven? My answer would be, God, you shouldn't, because I've broken your law every day of my life, and all I deserve from you is hell. But I know you're going to let me into your kingdom, not because of anything I've done to earn or deserve it, because of entirely what your son, Jesus, did on the cross for a sinner like me. I know you're going to let me in because of what your son did on my behalf. See, so I can have assurance of salvation, not because I'm good, because I'm not, but because of the goodness of God that would allow his son to die for sinners. And you all can have that same hope and assurance too, if you will put your faith in Jesus alone for your salvation. Not trusting in going to, not trust, a lot of people go the wrong way too. Not trusting in going to church, although going to church is a good thing. Not trust in being kind to people, because being kind to people is a good thing. Not trusting in making yourself better, living a holy life is a good thing. Okay? But by trusting in Christ alone for your salvation. Arantxa, if you were my neighbor and you knocked on my door one day and you said, "Tony, I'm going to mow your lawn so that I can be your daughter." I would smile, maybe giggle, not laugh at you, but just a friendly giggle. But I'd have to say, "Well, Arantxa, I'm glad that you want to get me out of yard work. I'm getting old, and that's getting old too. And I'm really touched that you want to be my daughter. But mowing my lawn's not going to make you my daughter. But what if you were my daughter? And I come home one day, and I see Arantxa not playing video games, not TikToking, not texting with her friends, but mowing the lawn, and no one told her. So being a skeptical dad, I think, uh-oh, it's her grades. Uh-oh, she broke something in the house. Uh-oh, she wants the key to my car or the money in my wallet. Something's up." And you see me, and you come running over, and you say, Dad, yeah, I don't want anything from you. I'm mowing the lawn because I love you, and I'm thankful that you're my dad." That would make most grown men cry. Nobody, when they die and stand before God, will be able to say, "God, I'm your son or your daughter. I'm coming into your kingdom because I mowed your lawn, because I went to church, because I helped the poor, because I got good grades." But if God saves you through faith in Jesus Christ and literally adopts you as one of his beloved children, you will want to do those things that please him, not to earn his love, not to keep his love, but because you're so thankful for the love he gave you as a gift. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so what God requires of you is to receive that gift. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I were to take off my watch and I were to give it to your Aunt Grace to say thank you for sitting here and listening to me for so long, and she thinks it's a little weird, and it's a man's watch, but okay. So she takes my watch, she puts it on her wrist, and I say, "Well, Grace, that'll be $300. Is it still a gift?
Well, not really.
Not at all. If she has to pay for it, or if she has to earn it, or she has to work for it, it's no longer a gift. It's wages. It's something she has to pay for. But the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that salvation is a free gift.
Are you listening?
Yeah, and people do that a lot too.
Here.
So
I'll be right back.
Sure. Do you ladies have Bibles? They're free.
What version?
It's called the ESV, the English Standard Version. It is a reliable, legitimate translation from the original languages, the Hebrew and the Greek. But it's a little easier to understand than the King James, which is, of course, a very good Bible too.
Okay.
But it should the ing, it's the
it
English
doesn't
is
mean anything different.
No.
If I grew up on the King James.
I understand. Right? No. The way of salvation, who God is, who man is, who Jesus is.
I've noticed that
there are some really bad translations out there.
They're very thick in translation, as you know, for people to understand. They're not, you know, in plain English.
Well, yeah, no, the nice thing about the translation I hand out is, and it's the one we teach from in our church, is that it is in plainer English and it's easier to understand without changing the meaning of the Bible.
Okay. I would love to have one.
I can give you as many as you'd like.
Three? Yes, I'll be right back though.
Three Bibles.
Thank you very much.
Aw, thank you, Arantxa. God bless you. McKenna, God bless you. Thank you. All right. Thank you so much for stopping and talking to me. You too. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you.